All right, well, thank you. Again, I'm Maria Langley with the Aging and Disability Services Division of the Seattle Human Services Department. We are the Area Agency on Aging for Seattle King County, and I'm here to talk about our farm-to-table partnership, which was an effort to connect senior meal and child care programs with local farms. And as the subtitle of the presentation states, we exceeded our expectations in that regard, at least especially in terms of the grant. And I would like to thank Public Health of Seattle King County. This project was funded through a CPPW grant, CDC, and also thank Kirsten Wisen and Adrian Dorf, who submitted this abstract and allowed me to be here in lovely San Francisco. So what I'll try to do in the next 10, 15 minutes, and it may be tough to fit it all in, so I would encourage those of you who are interested in this to check out our website, and that information will be posted on the last slide. In the meantime, I'll give it to you. It's agingkingcounty.org /healthy_aging.htm, but if you just go to the agingkingcounty.org main page, I'll have a highlight posted by Thursday morning in the lower right-hand corner. So you can link to all these documents. First, I want to go over the project objectives, what it was that we said we were going to do, what we hope we would accomplish. Assessment and training are some of the ways that we went about trying to get this project up and running. We'll talk a little bit about the procurement and delivery models that we explored and those that we're still using, and a little bit about the challenges and successes with the project. So project objectives, these were our deliverables. This is what we subcontracted with Public Health Seattle King County to do for this particular project, which was increase access and affordability of fresh produce by developing purchasing models for senior meal programs. And I'll highlight senior meal because that's what we set out to do. We weren't, because of the range and the diversity of child care programs, you have home-based centers, you have large centers with 100-plus children, you have after-school programs where they just serve snacks, you have school-age, preschool-age, just such a range and diversity of programs out there that we couldn't quite wrap our heads around how to fit that into the project. So we started out with a focus on senior meals, and then we also said we would assess the readiness and provide training and tools to help these programs incorporate more fresh local produce into their menus. And finally, we said we would assess the feasibility of childcare. So poor childcare is left with just a feasibility assessment. They did not want anything to do with that. They stood at the table and raised their hands and said, we want to do this now. They were so excited and so enthusiastic, and there was so much energy that it was somewhat of an affront to my bureaucratic sensibilities, but we kind of threw the original plan out and said, okay, what do we need to do? Come to the table, everybody, let's just figure it out. And I'll attempt to describe how we did that. So these are the partners that we worked with. I'll briefly highlight a few of them. Northwest Agricultural Business Center, which if you go to the website and look at some of the documents, they may be referred to as Puget Sound Food Network. That's a program of the Northwest Agricultural Business Center, and they're kind of getting rid of that name and just going with NABC. So you may see references to PSFN or NABC. Their role was to connect to the farmers. Their mission of the NABC is to help farmers bring their product to market. So in this project, they were responsible for finding farmers who would be suitable for this project, who are interested in providing produce to vulnerable populations, who had flexibility in terms of their delivery and pricing structure, and brought those folks to the table. WSDA, Farm to School Project, they were responsible for the assessment and training piece. And then most of the other folks on the list are senior meal or child care providers. And I want to highlight Muckleshoot Indian Tribe because they were not, am I hearing a siren? Oh, I thought evacuation. So Muckleshoot Indian Tribe was not one of our original partners. They weren't written into the grant. They didn't get a dime from CDC or Public Health for this, but they were one of our most successful partners. We serendipitously met at another conference, someone from the tribe raised their hands and said, are you doing anything? Are you working with the tribes in this project at all? And I said, no. Next meeting, they were at the table. And they're doing a lot of great work on food sovereignty issues, using traditional methods of preparing foods, using foods that are traditionally used by the tribe, both food and medicine. And so this was a really good fit for them. So I did want to highlight their work. So our mantra, we had a couple different mantras throughout this project. First one was meet people where they are. And this was part of the assessment process, trying to figure out where that was. So WSDA went in and they did on-site assessments for the senior meal programs. We had three pilot agencies that were selected to participate. And they did extensive on-site inventories of their facilities, the staff capabilities, what kind of things are they cooking now, where were there opportunities to sort of insert more local produce, did it have to be kind of all or nothing, or could it, be a little bit more of this, a little less of that. And as I state at the bottom here, there was a constant need to reassess, because in these programs, for those of you that work with community-based organizations, you'll know there's a lot of staff turnover. And some of these programs are run by volunteers. They'll change roles. Program and operational models were shifting while this project was going on, so we had to continually go back to the table and kind of figure out where people were at. And then again, because childcare came on late, they didn't get the full assessment, but what WSDA agreed to do with them was conduct a focus group and a kind of an online survey to figure out where they were and what methods and procurement models were going to work for them. Mantra number two, CPPW mantra, make the healthy choice the easy choice. So part of this project was providing the training and tools to enable the providers to make the healthy choice the easy choice. I've got a couple of these, if anybody's interested. These are seasonality charts that WSDA put together. So you can look on here and see, I need to put more vitamin C into the meal if you're doing a nutrient analysis. And then you can figure out what vegetables are available or what fruits are available at what times of the year that have those nutrients in them. We also did cooking demonstrations, skill building sessions. WSDA took our senior meal providers out to a farm for a farm tour where they learned about safety, seasonality. They got a cooking demonstration. They learned knife skills, so how are they going to chop and use all these new vegetables? They also developed an online recipe bank, which you can go to. And if you have a particular vegetable or fruit that you've gotten from the farm, you can go online and see what recipes are available, both for child care and senior meal programs. Marketing materials. At the senior meal sites, we use table tents. So if we got potatoes from a local farm, they would put table tents out there with a profile of the farmer, information about the vegetable. Same thing went home with the children in their backpack mail or flyers that went into their cubbies. And that was also a way of disseminating the information to the families and bringing them on board. And Public Health also funded digital story training, which was wonderful. It enabled some of our partners to develop these very compelling narratives online, just 2 to 3 minute videos that kind of help. They're great tools for funders and just overall generating enthusiasm for the project. Mantra number three, one size doesn't fit all. When we started this, Public Health kept referring to a cooperative purchasing model. We want you to develop a cooperative purchasing model. That was the phrase that was sort of used over and over. And everybody cooperated, and everybody purchased. But I don't know that I would call it a cooperative purchasing model. We realized very early on in the project that that wasn't going to fit for the variety of players and all of their different needs. One size wasn't going to fit all. So NABC really did a great job in terms of figuring out what size was going to fit. The primary method used was farm to site, which is direct delivery. So the meal provider would work directly with the farmer to figure out what it was they needed, when they were going to get it, how much it was going to cost. And at the beginning, NABC did the functioned as a middleman for that. And then the goal was that it would be sustainable, that once these relationships were developed, the meal set would be able to continue to do that directly with the farm. Food service distributor, that's kind of like FSA, Food Services of America, Cisco. There were some sites that didn't want to give that up, so what NABC did was try and find distributors who would procure locally and sort of incorporate that in. I won't talk much more about the rest of these, but for those of you that are interested, I have a few copies of an overview of all of these models that goes into details about what models work well in what situations. So I've got about 10 copies here with me, and that will also be online. I'll close with online procurement because that's just starting. NABC just launched an online tool in partnership with Local Orbit. So buyers, including our farm-to-table partners, can go online, see what the local farms have available, purchase from multiple farmers, get one invoice generated, and make one payment. So that's saving the meal sites a lot of time. And then the farm aggregation part of it just started as well. All of that, everything that they order, will then be delivered to one local farm, 21 acres in Woodinville, Washington, and they will re-aggregate everything and then deliver it to the farm, or I'm sorry, deliver it to the meal site in one delivery. Many challenges. Even though this was a very fun and successful project, there are a lot of challenges. Minimum order requirements for sites was probably the biggest one. We have a lot of meal sites, particularly the senior meal sites, where they may not meet that frequently, one or two times a week, 20 or so participants. So they couldn't get to that $50 threshold. And some of the farms started with the $50 threshold for minimum delivery and realized it wasn't sustainable for them, so they bumped it up to $100 delivery, which really cut down the number of our programs that could use it. If you don't have storage capacity and processing ability, it makes it more difficult to order bulk produce from farms. A lot of our sites were used to going to Costco, and they would just, you know, they go to Costco Sunday night, Monday morning, buy everything for the week. They know exactly how much money they had to spend, how many meals they needed to prepare for the week. And if they pulled money out of that, then it was challenging for them to figure out how much they had left. So if they bought 50 pounds of potatoes from a farm, what were they going to, how much did they have to spend at Costco? It was just another factor into the mix, as was just the extra time from multiple sourcing, additional prep and cooking time. It's always difficult for staff to take time away from these programs for training and staff development. Impact of weather on selection and feasibility was and availability was really big. We're very lucky in the Northwest that we have a moderate temperate climate. We have great produce year-round, but you still can't count on exactly what you need when you need it. Communication was also an issue. Our cooks, they're cooking. Farmers are out in the field or delivering produce. So email is not really something that they are naturally inclined to use. NABC was a great help in that, trying to bridge that communication gap. And there were some attitudes and cultural barriers, but I would say that was probably the least significant. For the most part, people were really excited about this and they wanted to do it. And other than that, on to the successes. And this is the final mantra. It's all about relationships. The relationships from with the providers and the farmers, the relationships with the participants and the food, the relationships with the providers and the participants, and then the relationships that we formed as part of the partnership. Just, it was one of those great silo-breaking projects where I worked with people in my own department that I'd never had the opportunity to work with. You know, youth and family and aging were working together. We were working with different government organizations, different nonprofits, so it was kind of a new world. Just seniors enjoyed eating the food. The cooks really loved preparing the fresh produce, and more programs are cooking from scratch and using fewer processed foods. Word cloud, again, lots of positive words. And then unanticipated spin-offs. People are making positive changes in their lifestyle, both the participants and the program, people who are working for the programs. There's a couple interesting spin-offs, different opportunities for funding that were available because of the relationships that were developed early on in this project. I'm done, right? So here are questions, and this is one of my favorite slides because look at how excited those kids are. They're green vegetables and kids, they like them. You don't have to sell them on it. Just bring it, and this is lifelong behavior changes. And here is more information, our URL. Everything should be there. So, questions? Any questions? No? Yeah. That was the role of Northwest Agriculture Business Center, NABC. So what they did at first was they identified two farms. They have relationships with many, many farms, but they identified two that they thought would be really good fit for this, and then sort of built upon that. Full Circle Farms and 21 Acres were the two kind of starters. They seem to have the attitude and values that aligned well with the project. There were many more farms that were involved eventually, but those were sort of the two startups. So they started small, expanded out. They're continually recruiting farmers, too. Yes? No, I don't think so. I am not the child care expert on the team, but I think that for the most part there was, as long as they were GAP certified, I think that's the phrase, does that resonate with people, then I think everything was fine. The issue was more the nutrient analysis side of things, where people were trying to figure out, if you don't have your prescribed recipe, how do I know that I'm meeting my one-third DRI or whatever the program requirements for the particular project are? So, yeah, you.
Two questions. One, you might have said, where did the funding come from, like at your Department of Food and Agriculture for this kind of work? And then, secondly, are you working with any commercial businesses, restaurants, small stores, worksites?
Okay, so first question, WSDA, their funding right now was cut with the state about 2 years ago, so they're really only grant funded. So once this CPPW money ran out, they then had to find another grant to keep that staff person who was dedicated to working on this going. They also had a CPPW money for a farm-to-schools grant, so they were able to put together a full-time position between these two projects. And I don't know, I'd be surprised if funding at the state level were restored so that they could just have someone on staff for non-grant-related activities. So they're a bit harried, let's just say. And then our funding, our meal programs are funded by the Older Americans Act. So, and then... as far as the business connections, there were several CPPW grants in King County that focused on business, the Healthy Corner Stores, and there's a lot of efforts that are sprouting in King County, stock-bought grocers, mobile vegetable produce deliveries that may be a really good fit for some of our programs. One of the sites that we tried this with where it didn't work so well were the East African home-based child care centers in the King County Housing Authority subsidized housing communities. The idea of kind of ordering something that you can't see, and then the language communication challenges were such that we couldn't quite find a model that fit for them. But what they said would work would be if someone could come to their neighborhood with a truck full of produce, that they could go pick out what they wanted. So some of those things are starting to form, both from a profit and nonprofit business side. Oh, and I never did the disclosure. Sorry, no disclosures.